All right, welcome back. Dennis Stuckey Show here on a Thursday, going until 7 o'clock tonight. And right now, a man who needs no introduction, but I'll give him one anyways. Jim Weimer joins us on the program. And Jim, I gave you a call kind of late in the afternoon and said, hey, you doing anything today? Come on the show. And I know that you had to go out and you had to officiate, and you survived that. And now welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I made it through it. First football action of the year. So it's a ninth grade game, Croslex in Northern, up at Croslex. So wasn't too bad. Nice breeze and temperatures were good.
Yeah, and it's still a little early for like the beet factory to be too stinky up there.
Oh yeah, yeah. The wind I think was blowing in the right direction, but you got to remember they've probably just been going, about 7-8 days of practices, and so we didn't do any special teams. We didn't do any. We kind of just split the field up a little bit and just tried to work on some offense and defense, and just getting out there moving a little bit was all right.
I just it's refreshing to hear that two teams in the area are playing ninth grade, because a lot of the area schools have had to drop stuff like that.
Oh yeah, and that's what I was wondering really about, like Croslex, because I know the BWAC, it's got all Class B schools and stuff. I think like Elmont's kind of a little bit smaller one, and some people, right, they've dropped freshmen, so to fill their nine games, they have to kind of reach out to play. In fact, I did a couple years ago when Rick Jakacki was up there, Croslex's JV team played Stony Creek because they didn't have enough games. So I think it's a scramble a little bit.
Which is a shame. The numbers are kind of going down. I mean, you and I both remember the days in Marysville where it would be lined up around the outside of the stadium an hour and a half before the game was even going to start, and Marysville's roster would have 60 kids on it. And you don't see too much of that anymore unless you're doing one of the top Class A schools.
Right. Yeah, I don't understand that either, because it seems like this TAFL program, if you go on a Saturday when Port Huron or Croslex or Yale holds a TAFL Saturday, and there's hundreds of people and a lot of kids and a good amount of teams. So I don't know what's happening, if the interest fades a little bit when they get to high school, or but it is kind of sad. But I think youth football in this area is still pretty big.
Yeah, and I think it's the safety factor. When they're young and cute, they don't think they can get hurt. But I think parents are really concerned now about the concussion thing and just other injuries that kids can get playing football. And I really think it's taken a toll. Right or wrong, it's taken a toll on the numbers.
Yeah, I think that's a big factor. You're right. When they're little and they run, it's everybody piles on someone, and it's and no big deal. But all of a sudden, you get these. And we had a couple today. We had some good hard hits going on at the ninth grade level. And you think, geez, with the helmets, and you just wonder about the concussion factor and stuff. But yeah, safety is a big reason, I think.
Getting excited. We're a week away from the start of the varsity season. I'm looking forward to it. The Detroit News picks its top 20 players. They say Braden McGregor's number two on their list. They'll get to see him a lot at Northern. It's kind of exciting, expecting several area teams too to be good this year.
Yeah, I think, well, not only him being his lofty rankings and stuff, state-wise and nationally and stuff, I think Northern's going to be really good again. Just with what they've got back on both sides of the ball, a lot of weapons offensively with Seth Klink and James DeLong and Theo Ellis. They'll be tough offensively, and then you throw all those guys back on defense. What were they a year ago? A regional finalist team, lose to De La Salle in a pretty good game, and I look for them to be back in that same spot again.
Yeah, they just look to me like they're ripe for another 10 wins. They're going to go to Romeo in week two, and I'm really looking forward to that game to see how they go up early in the season against one of the big boys.
Yeah, and I saw that game last year, Romeo at PA, or at the stadium, week two, And I think Northern lost a close game. It was like 14-6. 14-6. Okay, 14-6. I was going to say 13-7. And I went, man, either Romeo's not in one of the elite teams of the MAC Red anymore, or this Northern team's pretty good. And I think as I watch Romeo later on, they ended up winning like four or five games. Maybe made the playoffs, missed out, I'm not sure. And so I think you saw a good indication that Northern stuck with a pretty good team.
Yeah, I think Romeo was a playoff team last year. So
okay.
And then I look at, too, the first time the Huskies, 2 years ago, the Huskies played De La Salle. I mean, it was no contest. Last year, that game was a lot better, and Northern was a lot more competitive. So I'm looking forward to maybe them meeting a third time.
And then maybe the third time's the charm. And I just, the thing is if you take care of business during the regular season, that third one could be back at the stadium again. And yeah. It was kind of interesting. I was at that game and I kind of walked through the end zone and I heard the, some De La Salle fans and coaches mumbling and grumbling that they had to play on that surface. And it wouldn't have been even close if they had been on a regular turf field and stuff. And I don't know. I think it hurt teams both ways. I mean, I think it hurt Northern's offense, too, being on a, slick field. And so I think that could have gone either way. And I'd like to see a third meeting.
Well, hey, what I say to De La Salle, get yourselves a home field.
Yeah.
They can't tell me they don't have the money for it.
I know.
So that's their own fault because they were playing home games, I think, down at Wayne State at one point last year.
Okay.
So, if you want to squawk about where you got to play, how about first off, give the state an option and have a home field yourself? But at any
right.
rate, moving ahead a little further, and I don't want to push us through the fall. People are already barking at me that I pushed us through the summer, so I don't want to push us through the fall too. But come the winter, over at SC4, you've got a really cool thing that you've done the last couple of years that just seems to keep growing and growing. I talked a little bit. Kyle was on a couple of weeks ago after he won the big golf tournament. And that's this high school basketball, boys and girls basketball tournament that you've been putting on at the Fieldhouse.
Yeah, this is our third year of it. And we're looking at the way Christmas falls and the weekend and stuff. The original plan, we were trying to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, a four-dayer. And the one thing is I don't know if the Sunday's really going to fly. So we may go a couple long days, have a gap, and then come back and go back on Monday. Our numbers are good. They're about what they were a year ago. We've got some new teams. We lost a couple just because of some of these leagues now are going to like a 16-game league schedule. And so it leaves them only four dates to fool around with some non-conference games, maybe a rivalry thing. Jeremy Denhoff from West Bloomfield, I talked to him yesterday. He's got 19 games, but he's waiting for people to fulfill those two-year contracts where you go to their place 1 year, well, they should come back to your place the next year. And so he's waiting on a couple PSL teams there. So we may not have West Bloomfield and Dakota back, which was probably the premier game that we've had in the years of the event and stuff. But we got some interesting one. We got Lowell coming back over. Lowell's coach, I'm drawing a blank on him right now. He's a former Marine City guy. And so he's coming back and he's playing Marine City. I just got a confirmation today from Temperance Bedford, Class A team down by the border. They're going to come up and play. Boys, I've got Flint High coming. I think that was old Flint Southwestern. Well, now it's called Flint High. And they're going to play Cross Lex. Still got an opportunity to get Chandler Park. So there's still tinkering with it. And we'll have some, obviously we'll have a lot of local teams playing it because I think they enjoy it.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. It's a really good tournament, a lot of really good games, and you get to see, that's the neat thing about it, you get to see teams from outside the area, and especially when the good ones come in, you can see, you know, where do our teams need to get to, what level they need to get to, or who might already be there. We've had some good teams here in the past. I really wish New Haven would have come out the 1 year and played, because if people didn't get to see Romeo play at all, they would have enjoyed that. And I think that would have been the perfect setting for the people of Port Huron to come out and see Romeo Weems.
Right. And, well, we would have had plenty of room for him. That's the one thing, is we had that quarterfinals last year where we had Flint Beecher and Edison, and we packed the place, but we could have got more people in there. We got an interesting thing before we jump to basketball, is that we have a Class A, it's called Division I now, and Class B, Division II, high school girls quarterfinal at our place, November 20th, a Tuesday night. We're going to have probably one of the premier players coming from the Catholic League. I think it's Regina. And then also Class B, for years that was North Branch, but we're doing a doubleheader. They gave us one game, and the director kind of said, well, can they handle two games? And Jim Fish from North Branch and Tony Burton goes, it's a beautiful facility. They can handle a doubleheader. So we have a doubleheader in volleyball, and come boys basketball, we have a doubleheader quarterfinal B and C on the same night. So that'll be pretty exciting. We were unable to do a girls quarterfinal this year because we have the women's national that week in March. So some exciting things coming up besides the showcase.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there going to be a second that the Fieldhouse isn't being used by somebody? That's great stuff, Jim.
Yeah, when we knew we couldn't get a girls quarterfinal, I reached out to Tony Burton, who's on a site committee, and said, Tony, you've been in here a number of times. What would you think about it? I think it's great viewing for volleyball because the way the court's centered, you know, people will go up above and film or watch. And I think we'll see a lot of fans on the track watching it. And so he gave a push to it. And, of course, he had a guy sitting right next to him that's won state championships in Jim Fish. And he's been to our field house probably about four times, won our high school tournament a couple times. And I think at a BWAC event, and he went, yeah, it's a good facility. So I'm kind of excited about that one because you know how volleyball people travel.
Oh, yeah.
Those towns will shut down and come out and follow their team.
Yes, they will. Hey, Jim, it's good to hear from you. I'm glad we got the chance to talk today. I hope everything's going well health-wise.
Yes, everything's going well. I'm back doing a little football, trying to work out a little bit. I'm going to do some junior high basketball and stuff this winter. So besides all the field house stuff, I'm keeping busy.
It sounds like it. Hey, thanks a lot. You have a good one, all
okay.
right?
Thanks, Dennis. All talk right. to you later.
There's Jim Weimer joining us on the program today. Always fun talking with Jim. We'll be back.